Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming. This meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will come to order. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on January 10, 2013. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, posting on the district website and bulletin boards, and faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. How do we do a roll call?
Mrs. Brand?
Here.
Mrs. Kresty?
Here.
Mr. Freda?
Present.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Here.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Here. Mr. McTiernan, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is exciting to have such a full house. We have them at times, but we haven't had them lately, so it really is very nice to see everybody come out. I'm sure you're all here for the hearing on the budget. We actually do have a full agenda tonight. We do have the public hearing of the 2000-2014 school budget, including a presentation by Dr. Clark. We're going to review, discuss, and vote on the proposed new transportation services agreement. We're going to have an executive session at the end of the meeting. And we're going to have a performance by our Golden Eagle singers. The way the meeting will run tonight, we're going to have some comments. We're going to make some announcements, talk about some good news in the district. At the end of the comments, we're going to have the presentation by the Golden Eagle singers. And at that time, if anybody needs to get home to get ready for bed or do homework, please feel free to do so. And then we'll move on with the meeting, starting with Dr. Clark's presentation. So this is something fairly new, just something we wanted to work into the meeting, and it's just sharing some good news about things that are going on in the district. Our school administrators do a great job of sharing the news with us in their email blasts, on our school website. You'll see a lot of information on our school website if you haven't looked there lately. But I just want to take a few minutes to summarize some of the good things that are going on in Clinton Township schools. Every year, we have a Teacher of the Year nomination and award, one teacher per school. There's a selection panel composed of parent volunteers, teachers, and administrators. They gather, they review all the recommendations and the nominations, as well as recommendations by the teacher's peers. And the honored teaching staff who are chosen must exemplify the best qualities of the teaching profession. So for this year, from Spruce Run School, we have Joan Slagis, occupational therapist. From Patrick McGarren School, we had Kelly Hill, third grade teacher. From the Round Valley School, we had Deborah Tackney, fifth grade teacher. And from the Clinton Township Middle School, we had Marlene Chenoweth, eighth grade teacher. So please give a round of applause for our teachers of the year. Moving on, I wanted to mention from the Clinton Township Foundation for Excellence, they were able to announce that five more grants were approved for this school year, 2012-13, at their grant review meeting, which they held in March. Initially, seven grants were approved prior to the new year, bringing in the total to 12 grants for the school year. The five new grants totaled nearly $9,000, and the grants will focus on scholastic enrichment, technology and arts and education. And the grants will be implemented in each of the four schools. So thank you to the Clinton Township Foundation for Excellence.
Yeah, why not? Okay.
Moving on, this month was Youth Art Month. Did everybody know that March was Youth Art Month? We made that proclamation at the last Board of Education meeting. So in our schools, in each of the four schools, the students have been working with the art educators to celebrate Youth Art Month. Youth Art Month is coordinated by the Art Educators of New Jersey. And within our school district, the coordinators were Deb Paragon of CTMS and Kelly DeGioia of PMG. And this year, three pieces of artwork from our students were sent to Trenton for the State Youth Art Month exhibit held in the State House. So we want to congratulate three of our students, Jameson Morrow of Spruce Run School. He's a second grader. No, that's not possible. Let's see. First grader, Jameson Morrow of SRS. Second grader, Andrew Bozzi of PMG. And eighth grader, Zoe Chang of CTMS. This past Saturday, I was with Dr. Clark, Mr. Clark, and many parents and staff from the schools at a reception at the Huntington Health and Wellness Center up on 31. There were several pieces of art from all the kids, as well as from Lebanon, Clinton Township, and the high schools displayed at the Health Center for the month of March. And then this past Saturday, there was a reception and awards for the kids. And I did see a lot of the staff there, including the art teachers, Mr. Gugliandolo and Ms. Lascata, as well as, I don't want to miss her, Deb Paragon. So thank you to our art educators for putting on such a good month and for taking the time to put together a function on their time off. So thank you. This was a big month. We have a little bit more good news. Some of you may have read in either the Democrat or on NJ.com about one of our teachers in PMG, Stephanie Snyder. I think this was last week. There was a student in the lunchroom who was choking. And the student approached Mrs. Snyder making the choking symbol. And Mrs. Snyder reacted quickly, applied the Heimlich maneuver. The child cleared the food and all was well. So I just wanted to recognize her for her courage and her speed and her instincts to do what we need to do. Retirements. We actually have four of our staff announcing their retirement this month, so I wanted to just take a moment to recognize them. With regret, we're accepting the retirements of four staff, including Kathleen Redman, SRS PMG Secretary, Ursula Woolley, CTMS Physical Education Teacher, Deborah Tackney, RVS 5th Grade Teacher, and please forgive me if I mispronounce, but Janice Nectoline, thank you, CTMS Life Skills Teacher. So I just wanted to thank, along with the Board of Ed, these staff for their time and their energy and their dedication to educating the students of Clinton Township. Thank you very much. Now, to wrap up this section of the meeting, the comments section, Mrs. Clicious is going to introduce the Golden Eagle Singers, and we're going to have an opportunity to sit back and listen. So, board members, if you want to change your seats so that you could better see or listen, please feel free to. And then when the singers are complete, we'll resume the meeting. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the board and all the parents who allow us to come and perform for you in March. March is nationally Music in Our Schools Month, and we appreciate your support. We appreciate that you find that music is so important that it enriches our students' lives, and we thank you. And now we're going to have our sixth grade boys ensemble sing a song for you. It is a song, a Civil War piece, and it is called Tell My Father, and it is featuring Hunter St. Pierre as our soloist.
Thank you.
Joining the Golden Eagle Singers is Sean Lee playing the cello, along with our piece, Can You Hear Me? Close with I hear America singing.
Boys and girls, thank you very much. That was beautiful. Very positive, very upbeat. It's a great way to start a Board of Education meeting. You guys sounded very nice. You're clearly working very hard, and we're very proud of you. Mrs. Clicious, thank you very much. Everybody, please. Great job.
They played that with him, just like, Yeah, they recommended.
He's only an eighth grader.
Come in and do a complete assessment.
Yeah, he was on Drew's council one year.
He's huge, too. He's a man. Six-foot-one.
Yes.
Him and John.
Yes.
They're sitting next to each other.
You were outstanding. Congratulations. He's 6'1". Yeah, he was always tall, though.
Yeah. But now he's filled out. He's got muscle. He's my Martinez. Jaw, you know, cheeks, jawline.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
Now, all that's left are the teachers.
All the teachers.
Is there anybody new here? Is anybody new here? Do I have to do the whole homework?
I think you chased everybody away.
No.
Oh, my God.
So we'll discover that shortly.
Malay has been back over there. Brian Malay is in the
So, Dr. Clark, I have the first installment for next week's good news. So my son's eighth grade destination about
to
take
a teacher card.
Yes.
There. And that's it.
Weekend.
There's
no parents left.
They placed first place in their challenge in the state.
Mark, is one of them your son?
Their
no, my neighbor.
Oh, okay.
Boy, they were good.
Well, they scored 499 points. So far, the seventh okay. That are in the
okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. He's still across the street from me until they moved.
That? Put on that.
I visited my stepdaughter. I apologize. Our daughter's in the same junior class. I don't know.
Oh, gosh, it is.
I've seen smiles coming.
Tall for me. These are all teachers.
Let's go back in. Start.
Yes, sir.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'll stay on the board for the rest of the year now.
Okay, everybody, that concludes the president's report. Finished strong with that one. Moving on, we're going to have the report of the superintendent of schools, Dr. Clark.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. My report, unfortunately, is not as happy, although I have an enrollment report at 1,613 students, going up a tiny bit. There's a suspension report, a one-day in-school suspension. Three one-day in-school suspensions at the middle school. And we have HIB reports. There was one investigation at CTMS, determined not to be HIB. There were five investigations at Round Valley School. One was determined to be HIB. There were three investigations at Patrick McGarren, all determined not to be HIB. And two investigations at Spruce Run School, all determined not to be HIB.
Okay, we have an action item, 13.
There's a little error on the action item. It should be a different number.
Okay.
009.
I have that.
Okay.
We're seeking a motion for 13SU009.
So moved.
By Kevin Malloy. And a second by Dan McTiernan.
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
I'm going to open public comment first.
Okay. Moving on, we have our first public comment section on agenda items only. If anyone from the public would like to speak to the Board of Education on agenda items only, please approach the mic, tell us your name and where you live, and try to limit your comment to 3 minutes if you can. And there'll be other opportunities later in the meeting, but this is the first public comment on agenda items only. Seeing none, moving on to first recognition of the public. Opportunity to speak to the Board of Ed. Members of the public, please approach the mic. This can be on any topic. It does not need to be on the agenda. Okay, there's additional opportunities for public comment later in the meeting. At this point, we're going to move on. Are you going to in this section, or are we going to move on to?
We're going to do, I'll do it after the BA section.
Okay. Moving on to the report of the school business administrator, Heather Spitzer.
The current date of the next Board of Education meeting is scheduled for Monday, April 29th, here in the auditorium at 7:30 p.m. I'd like to make a reminder to each of the board members, if you have not completed your board ethics report, which is due online, you should have gotten an email. If you don't remember the email or if you haven't done it and need to have it resent, please let me know and we can have it resent. It'll come as a link from the Department of Education. We have two board minutes that need to be approved this evening, the minutes of February 25th, the regular board meeting, and the minutes of March 4th, which was the public hearing. I'm sorry, the tentative budget adoption. We will be approving the January and February board secretaries and treasurers reports this evening. And that's all I have.
We're seeking a motion on BA 030 through BA 033.
So moved.
By Mark Freda.
Second.
By Maria Grant. And can we have a roll call?
Mrs. Kresty?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes, with the exception of the March 4 minutes, I need to abstain on those. I wasn't present.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, now we're moving on to the public hearing of the 2013-2014 proposed budget. Dr. Park?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being out tonight. I'm just wondering how many people have heard this budget presentation, who were here at the preliminary budget presentation that are here tonight. Oh, okay. So there are some people that have not heard the presentation. Good. Okay. I'll try to move a little quickly through it, but please feel free. We're going to have a question, time for people to answer, ask some questions. So if you just make a few notes and we'll go through it. Okay. So the budget process, we started with what I'm going to call a needs-based budget. That means we worked from the bottom and started up. We did not start from the budget we had before and just add to it. We spent time really building this budget and making sure that we had the right foundation for it. We started with priorities set by administration and the Board of Education. We looked at our strategic plan to map out what we, the community, had looked at before and where we wanted to go for the future is included in this budget. We looked at state mandates and the costs attached to them. We did a review of line items for savings and what revenue we could create. We did an enrollment review, which we'll talk about a little bit later. We did year-over-year comparisons, a state aid summary, and we have some tax rate calculations and tax impact as we move forward. really, the needs and goals are kind of broken down into these four areas. So the first, of course, is student achievement. Safety and security in this day and age, critical for the safety and security of our students and our staff members. We wanted to make sure that we maintained the community's investment in the facilities. So not let them run down, make sure that we took care of the needs of the building and fix things that needed to be fixed before they got into too much disrepair. We wanted to look seriously at our fiscal responsibility to the community and make sure we met those needs. I'm going to take you through a quick review of unfunded mandates and their costs. If you look at the little two little men in the little graphic there, they keep somehow going up. When the state keeps reviewing all their mandates, they keep telling us that they're going to cut back on them. So they've had big committees to meet and cut back on mandates. But while one committee was meeting to cut back on mandates, another committee was meeting and moving more mandates. I put together a few here for you to take a look at. One of the first is PARC. That used to be, it still is actually, New Jersey Ask, which is the state testing. PARC is going to be the new name for the state testing. It's going to be online testing. So in our budget, we had to make sure that we addressed and prepared our students for the future of PARC and online testing. And we've attached a price to that. And some of that has to do with some technology costs, bandwidth, a number of areas that we had to make sure that we were on top of so that we were managing that well. Teacher and principal evaluations, another state mandate. Of course, none of these are funded, but we're required to do them. So we have a new principal and teacher evaluation system. We do have many, many new requirements over the last couple of years that have had a major impact on our nursing, staffing, and medical needs. And some of them have to do with the new diabetes law and how we manage diabetes in the schools, the enormous increase of allergies among children, and how we're managing EpiPens and allergy training. We also have special education law, which is state and federal law, adding to some costs, and ADA compliance, which a lot of you know is 504, that's the American with Disabilities Act, although special education does have some funding attached to it, the 504 regulations have no funding attached to them. So whenever a student has a requirement related to that, the school district provides it completely unfunded. We have some state curricular changes, and the interesting thing about the state curriculum changes over the last couple of years is not only did they give all of our administrative staff a lot of additional gray hair, but now they're stressing many of our teachers as well and our students with the new changes in the curriculum, but they had timelines attached to them. Normally, they give you a broad, they'll tell you they want a curriculum change over the course of a few years. What the state did with these curriculum changes is they mandated them within a year or two, and they wanted everything turned over. So it was a lot of curriculum change, very fast, and it put an enormous strain on the system because, remember, every time you're changing curriculum, you now have to train teachers as well as buy new materials and texts. So you have a lot of expenses attached to those curricular changes. And I put in HIB here, although I'm not sure we could attach a specific number to harassment, intimidation, bullying. I will say that there are opportunity costs attached to that.
Excuse me, Al. I just need a little bit of water. Where our principals now are required to do a complete investigation every time the word bullying is mentioned. That investigation can take up to a week in terms of days and days of interviewing students, talking to adults in the building, documenting evidence. It's quite time-consuming for the teaching and counseling staff, as well as the administrators. And when you do that, you lose opportunities to do other things. So what we want are warm, fuzzy schools where our administrators are around the buildings, they're in the classrooms, they're in the lunchrooms with kids, they're in the hallways. They may be tied up now doing extensive hours of investigation. So opportunity costs. I did want to take a minute to talk a little bit about savings and revenue. We did do some really strong review of the budget in terms of where we could find some savings. And we restructured our debt, and that saved over $1 million for the life of the bond that we restructured. We also bid out transportation, and you'll be hearing a little bit more about that tonight in some of the board motions. But when we bid that out, which hadn't been done in a number of years, the initial cost savings that we were able to put in the budget as savings was $284,000. We're expecting to find some more there, but the initial cost savings were $284,000. And so when you hear that we are... there's a change in transportation in the district. There is. We'll be talking about that more tonight. But it's all for the good. So no worries attached to it. There are good and wonderful things happening. We also restructured our office staffing, primarily in the board office, where we changed some positions around, eliminated some of the higher-level positions, and brought in some very strong secretarial staff who could do a lot of the more advanced office work, and so we were able to save about $95,000 right there. We added one part-time secretary for special services, and we do a lot of outsourcing. And so we're expecting that to help us save on some of the I'm going to call it clerical type work attached to evaluations that we do that can save us so we don't have to do as much outsourcing for that department. School choice, we brought in some additional funds. And I urge all of you, there is a school choice presentation that I made a few months ago that really outlines in detail what school choice is all about and some myths surrounding it that people have talked about for a few years that we were able to clear up in the district. So please take a moment to look at that. And get an assessment of that, and call me if you have any questions. Email me. I just want to just take a moment for a year-over-year comparison, so that as you're looking at this new budget for the 13-14 school year, we have a decrease in the benefits line, as I see many teachers in the audience, as they well know,
teachers and administrators everywhere are paying a bit more in terms of benefits. So that's decreasing our expenses in that line. We've had a substantial decrease in utilities based on some cost savings there. We are working in terms of staffing and strategic plan. If many of you remember the strategic plan, which we talked about a few meetings ago, we talked about the importance of the district wanting to maintain a lower class size, and so we're able to do that in this budget and keep those class sizes smaller the way our parents and community want, and we're meeting state unfunded mandates. Transportation is a lower line. We have lowered costs by rebidding the services. Capital outlay, we've spent a little bit more this year on that line because we're doing some more in terms of safety and security. We're very concerned about that in light of current events, and so we are doing some changes to our buildings in terms of cameras and alarms, and we're looking at changes in kind of beefing up the front area of our buildings. So you'll see some changes over the course of the next year. Of course, we're doing a lot of rekeying of classroom doors and locks and building the security there. Professional development has also increased. Some of that is due to those curriculum changes we talked about before. And so we really want to build the strength of our staff and keep that professional development going for them. And we also know that there are a lot of changes in the evaluation system. And those changes are going to require a little shift in the way we're thinking and approaching our teaching in the classroom. And so that's going to require some time and, frankly, some money to be put into it in terms of professional development and training. The enrollment impact. This has been a big issue in the state of New Jersey. I'm sure that most of you have been keeping up with this and reading the papers and watching that the enrollment trends are decreasing across the state in most areas. Not all areas, but in most. We are losing about 30 students for the 13-14 school year. Our out-of-district placements, however, are increasing. And there are a couple of important things to remember about that. There is no state cap on out-of-district tuitions. So, for example, we have a 2% cap on our school budget. However, there is not a cap on out-of-district schools and their tuitions. The state does not cap those tuitions, so they can kind of go up as they see fit. And we have no control over that line item. We have no control in terms of the pricing. What we have control over is that as we improve our programs, improve our curriculum, improve professional development, we can strengthen the Clinton Township School District and programs for all our students, which hopefully will lessen some of the need for out-of-district placements. So that's where we do have some control. We do get lower reimbursements from the state for out-of-district placements. Some people are not aware of that. They think if we place a student out-of-district, we get more money for that. We actually do not. We get less. The state wants us to have the least restrictive environment, meaning the more we can keep children within our schools and their home schools, the better the state likes it. I want you to be aware that we did consider closing a school. We've talked about this before, Mary Postma's not here tonight. I always feel bad when she's here and I talk about Patrick McGarren. But we really looked very closely at whether or not we should be closing a school. We're not ready to do that yet. We also have to, by the way, if we're going to consider that for the future, which we will look again every year for the future, we have to be able to say to the state that there are, I want to say, is it, Heather, I just want to check, is it 5 years or 3 years? 5 years, right? Five years out, that we have to say that we will not, all right, we're going to keep losing students in enough quantity for 5 years out that we're not going to need that school again. So I will tell you, I have concerns about that right now. I'm not ready to say that for the district. And if, as I said at the preliminary budget hearing, I had just watched a report on CNN, and it's probably holding up true as I see maternity leave dates coming in the school district, but apparently doctors of obstetrics are closing down their doors saying, no more, we can't take any more after Hurricane Sandy. Birth rates look like they're going up for that year, so it's good news for us. We'll stay in business for a while longer. School choice. We're taking 110 students. They will be across multiple grades, not one grade or another. And we were very cautious about this year. So that what we did is we looked carefully as an administrative team at where our students were across the district, how they were coming in. We looked at all the grade levels and we mapped it out. And we saw where we had some openings in those classes. Remember, we want to maintain a lower class size. So we didn't want to increase our class sizes to huge numbers. And what we also did not want to do is have school choice students cost more money as opposed to bring in revenue. And you could easily wind up in that situation if you don't monitor where you're taking your students across the grade levels. So we made sure that we didn't have to add additional sections as we took in school choice students. So we were very careful about how many students we took and what grade levels we took them in. So why is staffing going up when enrollment is going down? It's a question that the board certainly asked when I made some staffing recommendations, and I believe the community would ask. First of all, when we're losing the students, it's not an even loss. It's not like, okay, we're going down 30 students. All right, we're losing them all in first grade. That's not the way it happens. They're really spread out across the district. So they kind of, you lose a few here, a few there from each of your grade levels. So it's not an even loss. We're also down in general education classrooms, but we're up in special education needs. So what happens is, as we've gone down a few sections at Round Valley for next year, we're going up in our needs for special educators. So it's equaling out that we're winding up with needing as many teachers in special education as we're losing in general education. We're also going up in some of our support services. So when I talked before about what we could possibly control in terms of those out-of-district placements and special education needs, one of the things that we're looking at is finding some more support for our at-risk students. So students who are struggling in math, for example, we're looking to hire some basic skills instructors in math. to support those students who are struggling a bit there. And we looked carefully at what we had hired two years ago, I believe. We had hired literacy coaches. So I asked the principals to map out for me how those students did. Did we do well by hiring literacy coaches and literacy basic skills instructors? Did that make a difference for our students? Was that worth looking at for the future for math students? And we do have the numbers, and we saw really strong gains for our students in literacy, where they were moving up by leaps and bounds with our literacy coaches and literacy basic skills instructors. So that makes a big difference, because the stronger they are in reading, of course, the stronger they'll be as they move through the system. And we're hoping that that will hold true for math as well. We're also looking at some support for our nurses and for our secretaries in the schools. So we have budget highlights. They fall into two categories: safety and security, curriculum, and program. And what I did is, next to them, I put M's and C's. So you would see the M's, which are mandated costs, basically unfunded mandated costs, and C for curricular changes that are driving our needs in those areas. So you could see specifically why we're adding those positions or those programs. And you can see that we looked at the entire district and rekeying classroom doors and additional security cameras and part-time nurses. And then we looked at the needs of the individual schools. So you can see in Spruce Run, we're upgrading phones and PAs. We're doing parking lot repairs. Patrick McGarren, we're replacing exterior doors, parking lot repairs. There's an outside gate we want to do some work on and add to for safety. Round Valley School, we're installing a new fire alarm system. That's an antiquated system. It works, but I don't want to take the chance that it's not going to work soon, so we're replacing it. Some also parking lot and curbing and school secretary. The middle school, we're adding some exterior lighting, and that's also for some safety and security. School secretary and some special services support there. And you can see, in terms of curriculum and program, many of this has been really driven not just by our administrators, but by our teachers. I've been very fortunate in that I've been going around the district talking to different groups of teachers and grade levels. If I, for some reason, haven't gotten to yours yet, I'll be there soon. They're all on my list. They're all scheduled. And I've been listening to what the teachers have been saying to me about the needs of the students and the programs and what they need. I've spent a lot of time, Judy Hammond's here, she knows, with fourth and fifth grade at Round Valley. And we've talked a lot about the reading support that we want to give those kids and what we need for that. And they've been, I don't know how aware the board is of this, but our teachers have been actually going out to top-rated districts, top-scoring, top-rated districts, and looking at best practices, the best programs they could possibly provide to get some of the top scores in the state. And they've been analyzing them and making recommendations to us, and we've included some of that. I wanted to make sure, I promised them at their meeting that I would make sure that there was support in this budget, that if they came to me with some needs, that I would make sure we had something there for them so that they wouldn't do all this work in vain. And it's there. So if there's fourth and fifth grade teachers from Round Valley here, Good job, folks. I've been reading all your emails. And so you can see we're looking at all of the different curriculum areas that we want to support, leveled materials in science and social studies, benchmark testing. One of the things that please make sure you share, if you're a parent in the audience, MAP testing. I know it's been a struggle. However, when we talked about PARC before and online testing, I want to make sure that you're aware that that online testing, all the struggles we've been going through, are really an incredibly strong foundation for us as we move into PARC in the next couple of years. Because Clinton Township has now gone through the growing pains that other districts have yet to experience. They're going to have PARC and be facing online testing for the first time. We will have experienced it and the growing pains, and we know what we have to fix to make sure it works well. They haven't even gotten there yet. So I'm really proud of our curriculum department and our staff for trying to work so hard and get this straightened out and work it all through so that we can get all the information and data we need for our kids to make the best improvement possible. Okay, so we have, I'm going to introduce Heather Spitzer, who is our business administrator, and she's going to walk you through a summary of the state aid we received and some tax implications for this budget. Heather?